Drunk on Comics Special Edition, an interview with Raven Gregory. Derek and myself were able to sit down with Raven via Skype and talk about his new book coming out called Widow's Web. We also got into a lot of other things within comics, talking a little bit about Dirk Manning. He somehow always sneaks onto the show, as well as Raven's favorite word in the English dictionary. So hopefully you guys enjoy.
On Comics Special Edition with Raven Gregory. And once again, Tony and I are here, and through the power of the internet, we have Mr. Raven Gregory himself.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, man?
Dude, I'm doing great. I'm completely flabbergasted by, you know, we're doing this via Skype, and I'm looking at the room, and I don't see, like, empty beer bottles.
Oh, there's plenty.
Yeah, there's just more... More toys that we did a virtual tour of this, which maybe for VIP listeners we might record. I don't really want to show them, but Raven got to be one of the few to see the room.
Yeah, I fully expected that every single time you guys do these, you're just shit faced plastered drunk, and oh hey!
Yeah, we're drinking.
And I felt so bad because I'm like, I've been wanting to do this for so long, and I'm 100% sober. I feel like I'm not being true to the spirit of the show.
Well, you know what, though? We're drunk on comics. We just might also happen to enjoy, you know, drinking our beers, too.
Yeah, so okay. As long as it's one or the other.
I think I stopped listening after the drunk, and then I was just like, oh, and there's comics. So I just assumed, like, everybody was drunk, and there were comics.
Yeah, well, and there are, normally. Well, you know, I mean, for people that don't know, we started this because we found we were at the bar on the weekends talking about, hey, what'd you read, you know, this week, what'd you read, this and that. And finally, we're like, yeah, we should just record this. So we just, you know, continued our bar conversation, you know, made a little studio at Tony's house and said, all right, that's what we're going to do.
Okay, so just to clarify, you were at a bar?
Yep.
And people were talking about what comics they read.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to leave my bar and start hanging out at your bar. Your bar seems way more fun than my bar.
We talk about comics everywhere. Actually, a couple weeks back, while my girlfriend was out like getting her hair done and stuff like that and running errands, I went into one of the local microbreweries here in town, and I was sitting at the bar reading my comics, you know, from that week. And I talked to two different people that, like, you know, were like, hey, what are you reading? Well, I read this and I read that. I mean, I love talking comics in the bar. It's my favorite thing.
You know what? You have inspired me. I am going to now start attending strip clubs with a bag of comics, and I'm going to read it in the strip clubs and see how many strippers actually come up to me and start conversations about their favorite comic.
You know, there are actually a few that I know that are into comics. One in particular, she cosplays at, you know, a bunch of the local shows. And actually, we saw her 2 years ago. She was dressed up as Lady Deathstrike.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just amazing cosplay. So, yeah, it's well worth it. I mean, give it a shot.
I think I need to start going to the strip clubs you go to. And start going to bars you go to, because they seem way more fun than my... I go to my bar, we talk about jobs.
Oh, yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sports, which that's like talking Magic the Gathering to me. I'm going to be trying to explain Klingon calculus, because I don't have a fucking clue about... Like, the Cardinals, I love the Cardinals, been following the Cardinals my whole life, don't know a single player on the team. They started winning. Like, there was a disturbance in the force. And they were winning every fucking game. And I'm like, what the shit is going on? This isn't the... Oh, hey, and the Super Bowl's in Arizona next week.
Oh, it is in Arizona. I forgot.
We're going to the Super Bowl. And then all of a sudden they lost. And I'm like, okay, things are back the way they used to be.
Well,
there we go.
Well, we're from Michigan. So, now, I don't really care about football.
I do.
Yeah, Tony does. And unfortunately, around here, everybody is a Lions fan. So, you know, they're just the epitome of, if we can lose, we will. Yeah, so
I wish you had said that. I wish you had said you were like from Texas, and then I could have made Cowboys jokes.
Oh, you still like, can. Like,
everybody's a Lions fan. You could have said everybody's a Cowboys fan, and I'm like, what's that?
Yeah,
I've never heard of that. Is that an extinct species or something? You know, it's
so well. I'm glad we got you on the show finally too, because you and I met. Oh God, probably a dozen years ago, roughly, at Motor City Comic Con, Novi, Michigan, and you were there.
That was
there.
A great show.
Yeah, you were there.
We were drunk slash dash comics.
Well, this was right after The Gift had been picked up by Image.
Oh shit! That was a long time ago.
Yeah. And, you know, it was one of my very first cons, and I go walking around, and I'm walking by, and it was, you know, it was like an, it might have even been the fall show, which was smaller at the time. Now they just do the once a year. And I go walking by, and you're like, hey, can I tell you about my comic book? And I'm like, okay, because you were one of the few guys in that artist alley that actually had comic books and not just prints. And so you give me the whole pitch, and I'm like, and you're like, so what do you think? And I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll take all of them. And I picked him up, and I loved it. And, yeah, so it was funny because then a couple years ago, you know, from now when we had first started, you were one of the first people that really caught on with our show. And, you know, you were tweeting about us and tweeting to us and stuff like that. And it's fantastic. So this is an honor for us to have you on, too. So,
oh, sweet.
Yeah. So
well, let's start at the beginning.
Yeah.
For listeners that may not know of you, how did you get into comics?
Well, what happened was my mom met my dad. They went on a date for the first time. Fast forward 20-something years. I first started writing comics back in 2000. I wrote like everybody in the industry on how to get in. The only person who wrote me back was Renee Geerlings, who was the vice president of publishing at the time at Top Cow. And she took me under her wing. We self-published The Gift. The Gift got picked up by Image. Insert, like, all the life and bad shit in between those 3-4 years and just, like, the hard work. Like, cue the Rocky music and do, like, a 1980s montage type thing. Me in the snow, put Will Smith's body, like, photoshopped over my body. Slimmer back then. After that, I caught the attention of Zenoscope Entertainment, who brought me over to their company. And using a lot of my connections over there, you know, we started doing the Wonderland series.
Mm-hmm.
Did a bunch of creator-owned books like Fly, The Waking, Irresistible.
Which Irresistible is, dude, that was one of your best things I've ever read. I mean, like, that was a fantastic book. I loved that series.
Thanks. I appreciate it. That's kind of become my niche is, and I don't do it no more. I've actually made a true effort not to do those kind of stories, but for most of my career, it's always been something horrible will happen or I'm dealing with some personal issues and I'll turn it into a story. And mm-hmm. people seem to relate to those really easy, whether it be Fly, which deals with drug addiction, or Irresistible, which deals with having your heart broken. Like, everybody's had their heart broken.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's always felt at some point in their life, unless you're one of those really pretty motherfuckers and they don't count, that you just feel unwanted and you wish that everyone would want you. So that was kind of the point of Irresistible was, you know, you get your heart smashed and shattered into pieces and you just feel like a big giant pile of shit and you wish somebody would want you. And the guy gets a lot of sex, which I thought was a very Shakespearean type thing.
Well, you know, that book was the epitome of be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of been my thing. And then, just recently, this last year or so, I left Zenoscope, and I'm now back to doing creator-owns fully on my own with a new brand Broken Butterfly Comics.
Mm-hmm.
And our first story that we are launching a Kickstarter for on the 27th is Widow's Web, that I'm co-writing with my co-creator, Autumn Ivy, and Ian Snyder's doing the art, and Liz, I'm going to butcher her last name, Liz B, Lizelle B, is doing the colors. She did the colors for Jungle Book and No Tomorrow, and it's been a wonderful experience. It's one of my favorite stories I've ever worked on. Even though I say that about every story I work on, I'm assuming it has something to do with the alcohol intake. Like, my memories no longer retain, so everything is always my favorite.
Well, this was we got to read the first issue of this book, and this is a hell of a fun book. It wasn't what I was expecting, which that's always a good thing.
Yeah, I didn't quite know what I was expecting, but there are some things that we'll talk about later that I was just like, reread it again a second time, like, wow, I didn't catch it the first time. And I love when I have to go back through to get even more. It's like more bang for my buck. I get to read a comic twice and see new things. Really, really good.
Yeah. So for people that haven't heard about Widow's Web, what should they know?
Well, it's very much the classic story of boy meets girl. But in this case, since it's a horror story, girl might actually eat the boy. So the story follows a bartender who has a deep, dark secret. And this gentleman named Peter comes into – this heartbroken guy named Peter comes into her life. And the relationship with him kind of turns her already – secretive world upside down. And it's set in a world where everything is definitely not what it seems, and as the story reveals itself, you see what's really going on. But yeah, it's something I've been wanting to do for a very long time. I've always been in love with since the Twilight Zone and Tales from the Crypt. That's always been my kind of story. I've always wanted to tell those stories, and I always have kind of told those stories to some extent. So this is kind of like a culmination of 13 years of writing all in one story now.
Yeah.
And a lot of talking shit.
Now, when you're writing, you know, because you've been writing for a long time now, I kind of want to get into a little bit of how you do your scripts. I mean, do you have a standard format that you like to use, or do you vary it based on, like, if you know who the artist is you're going to be working for? You know, do you like to have everything written for the full arc before you find an artist? I mean, like, all these, there's so many facets to writing comics. I'm always curious about the process.
Well, I mean, it changes a lot for each issue, each story that I'm doing. There are some stories that I'll sit down and I'll write the whole thing straight through. There's some stories where I write all the panels and then come back and do the dialogue later. It really varies. With this story in particular, the way me and Autumn have been working it is she'll usually come over. She lives in Tucson, so it's about 2 hours away. She'll come over. We'll break down the plot points of the story, and from there, there's a lot of polishing, a lot of insert dialogue. But what we've noticed over the last couple months is whenever she comes down and we sit down and we try to work, we get nothing done. Like, nothing at all. But if we sit down and talk shit and just fuck around for the day, all of a sudden, all these bits and pieces of dialogue, I don't know if you remember the line in Irresistible, but there's a line in the story where they're sitting there. He's sitting there with his friends, and they're talking about Catwoman. And they're talking about, well, what was the name of the new Catwoman?
The
lady who played the part.
Oh, fuck! What the hell's her name?
Are you talking Halle Berry?
No.
The new one.
The one with Christian Bale. Diary person.
Oh, Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway. There you go.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the best Catwoman in the world. And somebody makes the comment at the bar, I wouldn't fuck Anne Hathaway with Jack Nicholson's dick. And I'm like, holy shit, that's fucking perfect. That's going in the story. Yeah. That's a conversation two people have at a bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, the words that you use as well, such as fuck, is like predominantly well-written in the book.
Well, you can overdo swearing so easily, but if it's one of the things I've always liked about your writing is it's insanely conversational.
Well, it's like natural.
Yeah, very, very natural. So that's one of the reasons why I've always liked what you've done is because it just flows when you're reading it. You can hear people actually speaking it in your head. So it's always worked well for me. But
yeah, I try to always make sure that the conversation feels real. It's something to where if you can capture that one moment of a real conversation between two characters, something about that makes them feel more real than anything else because mm-hmm. you can relate it to someone you know or a conversation you had before or a conversation you would have. And the word fuck, if you've ever met me in person and hung out with me or had drinks with me, it's not that I swear like a sailor. It's just I happen to replace a lot of words with fuck. Because it's such a replaceable, it's a word that can like fit in fuck anywhere. See, I just threw that in there. You didn't even notice it. It's like, you know what I mean?
I didn't fucking notice that, did you?
No. What the fuck are you talking about?
What I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not vulgar. It's only vulgar if you're saying it in like a derogatory term. I use it with an endearing sense of it's a beautiful
fucking word,
you know?
Yeah.
Thank you. See, I didn't even have to say it. You inserted.
Yeah.
So, yes, I am a huge fan of the word fuck. If we take nothing else away from this interview today, it's that word should be used in schools much more often than it actually is.
Now, one thing that I actually found out here this past week, talking to another writer who actually wanted me to say hello to you, but I think it's also because he wants another mention on our show, was Mr. Dirk Manning.
Dirk!
Yeah.
I love Dirk. Did you know he actually has a face?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've seen it.
Yeah. No wonder he covers it up. I mean.
I love that his brand is that he has no face.
Yeah.
He's like a Dick Tracy character or something. No face, Dirk.
Dirk.
And then you meet him in person. And, you know, he's drinking a strawberry daiquiri or something. Like, what's the...
Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple, yeah. The shit with no alcohol in it.
Yeah.
Fuck. And it's like, what the hell's going on? You have a face. You know, you build this huge brand that you have no face, and then you meet him in public, and he's human. It's like...
Yeah,
if
it's not ice cream, Faygo Rock and Rye, or Shirley Temple, you know, it's like three of the sweetest, you know... kid type things you could ever imagine. Yeah. And Dirk, you know, motherfucking Manning as he, you know, prefers, but yeah, it cracks me up. But Dirk's been on our show more times than I think anyone, possibly even one of our co-hosts.
Yeah.
So,
I think he needs to get into Ultimate Fighting or MMA fighting so he can have the Shirley Temple around afterwards. So like, you know, people walk up to him, they're like, fuck you, Dirk. And then Dirk kicks their ass and then has a Shirley Temple.
He's like, big into WWE wrestling. He could have a whole character where he just like wrestling with his, you know, hiding his face the entire time. And the big reveal, you know, at the end of his career, they show his face and then it's not even him. Like a story behind it. I don't know.
But anyway, so.
I'm pretty sure that's where he came up with the brand was WWE.
Probably.
He's like, he tried out for the show, and Vince was like, you're fired! And hire him and shit. And he's like, fuck that. I'm going to write comics and use my gimmick as a comic gimmick. No face. Hey, Dirk.
Yeah. So I think we actually need to set up like a WWE-style writer brawl between Dirk and Raven.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we could have you guys just talking shit back and forth until we finally get you guys at a convention together, and then, you know, we'll have a write-off.
He would just hit me with a steel chair, because he wouldn't win. He's a damn good writer, but he would have to pull out the steel chair, maybe, like, the brass knuckles, and they would have, like, Dirk Manning ball sweat on them. So it's, like, extra punch.
This is why I was looking forward to this conversation today. All right. So, Raven, tell us about the Kickstarter. You said it's going on, starting on the 27th of January, correct?
February 27th. January 27th is my birthday, so...
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Thank you. So if this interview plays after my birthday, everybody who's listening to this, you fucked up. You didn't get me a birthday present. Kiss my ass.
Maybe we'll post it on your birthday for your birthday present.
Oh, okay. Now everyone's saying happy birthday while you're listening to this. I'll hear you. The wonders of the internet.
Yeah. So when this comes out, do you have your some of the rewards already laid out for what's gonna happen with the book?
It's yes. Yes. Well, no, I was about to say it's perfect. It's everything I imagined. I love it. Oh my God, it stroked my own ego. But we've been working on it for nearly 8 months. I mean, I researched this thing like when I first got into comics.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a whole year going to like 20 conventions and just researching and listening to writers and hearing what they had to say and really soaking in the industry and then going into comics and starting to write it, forgetting everything I had freaking learned and learning the hard way all the way across the board anyway. But with the Kickstarter, I spent months researching this thing. So it's been prepped and ready, and all the rewards are ready. All the covers are done. The first two issues are done. And we just got the Kickstarter video in yesterday. So it's really cool and prepped and all kinds of wonderful, and people should spend so much money on it.
What are a couple of the rewards that you're a big fan of? Like what? Give us a couple that you think are like the really awesome.
Well, there's the $10,000 one, which is sex with me.
Oh, Tony, you want that?
We thought that was like a discount deal. I don't know if that's. No, there's a lot of cool exclusives. There's the issue of the comic. There's appearances at the local comic book store. I'm not sure if we did a date with Autumn. But I really think we should. I think there is actually a date with Autumn Ivy, because my co-writer is also an insanely hot cosplayer,
mm-hmm.
who I would buy, if nobody else buys a reward, I'm going to buy the reward for a date with him. and just a lot of really cool stuff. I try to make sure there was a reward for everybody, so no matter what, you know, you could contribute if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And not feel left out of it.
Do you have any original art things going on?
We also have original art. We have, I think it's 5 pages from the first issue that we're making available.
Okay.
As well as one request I've gotten asked more than anything else in my entire career as a comic book writer is people want to get killed in my comics. I think... those individuals are a bunch of sick fucks, but I love them. I love them to death because I'm the same guy who would ask somebody, hey, kill me in your comic.
Well, yeah. I gave Dirk a quote for his first volume of Tales of Mystery, along it was myself and like 4 other people. And the thank you that we got was he killed us all in volume 2. You know,
so. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, Dirk, he's a sick bastard.
Yes, he is.
But yeah, that's actually one of the rewards is you get killed in the comic. So we create a character based off the contributor, and they get killed in an issue of the comic. Because for some reason, people assume people are going to die in my comic stories. I have no idea why.
I don't understand that at all.
It's not like I kill someone in every comic I've ever written. I have no idea where that idea comes from.
Well, maybe not every issue, but I'm sure. I'm trying to think if I can think of an issue, single issue. But we'll have to do some research on that.
almost every issue.
Yeah. So. That's awesome, man. Now, how did you get hooked up with your co-creators on this book?
Well, Autumn Ivy was a friend of mine I'd met many years back running the convention circuit. she was wearing a female version of Dante from Devil's May Cry.
Mm. Okay.
And you know how Dante has that big sword?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She did this thing where she turned the sword into a stripper pole and did this incredibly seductive dip. And I was just like, this is my new best friend. I have to hang out with you all the time. You are way too cool for words. All
right, I'm buying that level on Kickstarter right now.
Oh, one of our stretch goals is she got the spider from the Widow's Web
mm-hmm.
tattooed on her ass.
Ah.
And we actually have the video of that if we hit our goal. You get to see the video of her getting a tattoo of a spider on her ass.
Nice.
Awesome. I had started reading her Facebook, and she always posts these cool little short horror stories. And one day she posted one that was just so incredible. It was so raw for a young writer.
Mm-hmm.
I automatically was, I have to work with this person. So we started working together about a year or two ago, and I just love it, you know. She keeps me young. You know, you do this thing for so many years, or you're in comics for so many years, you start getting burnt out. You get a little burnt out, you get a little jaded.
Yeah.
And then you kind of have to reset and recapture that joy. And that's one of the best things about working with her, is she always has those, you know, see your book on the stand for the first time eyes.
Yeah.
Which, you know, there's nothing like that. And then Ian Snyder was a gentleman I worked with on a Tales from Wonderland series a long time ago, who I met in Tucson. And Nei Rufino, a frequent collaborator of mine, one of my best mm-hmm. friends, told me that he was getting ready to take a break from his work over at Big Dog Inc., and he was available. So she kind of put us together, and Ian, he's such a rock star and doesn't even know it.
Yeah.
You know, and if that's one of his coolest qualities, besides being an incredible artist, is he'll draw the most amazing things, the most coolest characters. Fans will be telling him how much they love his work, and he's just like, do you think I'm any good?
That, I tell you what, that first issue is gorgeous. You know, I mean, that there, it's just a great, great first issue. Now, is and I guess I you may have told me before, and I may have drank away the information, but is this going to be a short series, or like a mini series, or is it going to be ongoing, or what's the plan for Widow's Web?
Right now, it's slated to be a 6-issue mini series. After the Kickstarter is done, we actually have already been in talks with a few publishers, so we're going to publish it nationally once we get the series funded,
mm-hmm.
so that I don't have to eat nothing but ramen noodle soup for the rest of my life. we're coming to that place right now where the series was planned as a finite series. It, you know, ends after 6 issues, you get the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're falling in love with the characters so much, we don't want to leave them. We want to do another story. But we still haven't quite figured out what that next story could be. Because it seems like it could easily, I mean, I don't know in your opinion, but it feels like it could become a brand type of story. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Almost like Grimm Fairy Tales were before that fell off the rails. Or Wonderland before that also fell off the rails. You know, that kind of, that's the only shit talking you'll ever hear me say online.
Yeah.
One of the questions I had, which I don't know if you can answer or not, or if there's anything in it, after Derek here had mentioned the name of the city and realizing what that was, is there anything else with names and things like to read into or look into?
Everything.
Okay, because I've been Easter trying to pull out my anagram machine and just trying to figure out, what's that stand for? Who's that? What's that going to be? Like, I don't know. I just love the hiddenness of once you understand what that was, holy fuck.
Like there's a line, there's another line in the, and through the whole series is laced with all these beautiful little perfectly hidden Easter eggs. But there's a line in the book where Peter explains how to pronounce his name. You know, he says it's spelled funny, but it's pronounced Peter. If you Google how his name is spelled, you kind of get a sense of exactly what we're doing with the story.
Tony, Google that.
But it's very much in the vein of the whole Tenix City type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm a huge fan of throwing those little brain ticks in throughout a story.
Yeah, I didn't catch the city name until the second time, like when I went back the second time and started reading it, and I went, oh, you little fucker, Raven.
and doesn't that shit make you feel smart?
Yeah.
Like, no one else tells you, you're like, holy shit, look at that, I paid attention.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Reward. Yeah, Tony and I are both like that. We love having, like a reward in there. It's like, you know, that's the prize in the Cracker Jack box. So the Cracker Jack's great, but you want that fucking prize, too, so.
Yeah, like, another thing, if you ever, I don't know if you're a huge fan of, like, Fight Club, Identity, those kinds of movies.
Mm-hmm.
You ever go back and watch them after you see the twist at the end and start catching all the little,
oh yeah,
like, you sit there and you're like, oh, wow, hey, there's another.
Yeah, well, and that's the kind of shit that got us hooked on Lost. You know, it was all those little fucking Easter eggs thrown in. What's this mean? What's that mean? You know, and then the ending comes, and then you're like, I'm not going to go back and rewatch it.
Nope.
But yeah, so do you have any other upcoming projects besides Widow's Web in the works?
I had a second series called Something Like Magic that was it started off very beautiful, but the artist had some personal problems and some issues he had to deal with, and I'm not entirely sure what happened to it. It'll still get done. It's still on the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I very much did underestimate how much time goes into launching a Kickstarter and properly promoting, marketing, dealing with the printing, like basically all the ends of publishing that I completely forgot about since, you know, my younger days.
Yeah.
And now that I know how to do it right, I don't want to do it half-assed.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
It's taken up a lot of time, and I mean, if I was to break down my day writing wise, I probably spend about maybe 5% of my day writing, and all the rest is marketing, you know, promoting, dealing with printers, dealing with production, artists. So you start having to wear all these different hats.
Yeah.
So it's not as easy just to sit there and concentrate and say, hey, I'm just going to do the writing. Here's the four stories I wrote for the month. Go.
Yeah.
You know, now it's, if I do one story a month, I'm happy, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a, you know, I mean, it, marketing just in general, it, well, shoot, from the time you started till now has changed drastically. I mean, 10 years ago, you know, what percentage of people were even listening to podcasts, let alone, you know, getting on their social media to share shit, you know? So everything's changed, you know, in order to get the word out there. I think it's made it easier to get some info out there, but at the same time, there's a lot more information. Now people have to kind of, you know, sift through it a little bit more, too.
And find out the right venues. Like, you could be like Dirk Mannion and be a whore and just come on our show all the time. So,
do you remember back in the day where us looking at each other on the phone was something out of Total Recall?
Yeah. Yeah, and here we are using Skype, you know, having a conversation. You know, we're in Michigan, you're in Arizona, and it's like, yeah, nothing, you know, and last week, you know, we were talking to a guy out of New York and another guy out of Denmark. You know, I mean, what that never would have happened. But, yeah.
And then my son just showed me, he comes into the room and he's always showing me something. And I don't know if you remember being 18 years old where you were showing your parents something, but it's always dumb shit.
Yeah.
Because it's important to you, but your parents never gave a shit. We don't give a shit. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he puts me on the computer and he shows me Microsoft holograms.
What?
Like, they fucking have holograms. Like, they do the thing with their hand and the thing moves, like, out of Iron Man. That shit from Iron Man?
Yeah.
They have fucking holograms now. Program, computer, that you and your friend can hang out and talk holograms across the internet with holograms. And all I can think of through the whole thing is, I cannot wait to see porn on this. Some hologram titties on my bed.
It's going to be a lot of hologram dollar bills going in that G-string. Now, speaking of, you know, the internet and the social marketing and all that
stuff. I thought you were going to say, speaking of titties.
No, speaking of, yeah. Fuck! we should spread the word. Where can people find you online?
Well, you can. I live on Facebook. I didn't know if anybody actually knew that. I do not actually exist in person. I'm like Max Hedricks. I'm actually a computer program on the internet.
Oh, are you a hologram?
See, if I was going to do this interview naked so you could see the titties, and then I'd be a hologram titty. Like, no. But no, you can find me on Facebook, Facebook Raven Gregory. I'm not the girl Raven Gregory, but she's also cute. www.theravengregory.com, and also on, never mind, that's it. Well, all the other ones.
You got Twitter. Raven
shit, or what's it called? The Tumblr. You put Raven Gregory and that next to each other, and magically, just Google Raven Gregory. You'll find me.
Awesome. Cool. So, anything else that that our listeners should know before we wrap this up here?
I'm sexy and I know it.
Actually, I do have one other question. You got any appearances lined up this year?
Yes. I'm actually this last year I took a lot of time off to kind of get everything prepped and ready, but this year I'm doing a lot more shows. The first show of the year that I'll be doing is Amazing Arizona Con, which is in 3 weeks, I believe. Okay. And then I'll also be doing Emerald City Comic Con, possibly St. Louis Comic Con, and the Phoenix Comic Con this year, with more shows to hopefully come.
Well, we need to get you, out on the East Coast a little bit here, you know, too. So.
I was going to try to come to Fanfare again, but I heard they canceled the show.
Yeah, it's, I think permanent hiatus, but I don't know for sure. You know, I know as much as anybody else that's read their release that it's just, you know, indefinitely postponed.
Right. Are there any other Detroit shows?
Motor City Comic Con.
You know what? I just now remembered that show. Like, you know the whole conversation you had about the gift and everything? Like, I can't even remember the gift anymore. My brain's so, like, torn up. But now I remember the green room at that show, and they had the best nachos ever.
Really?
Like, it tore up my inside, something awful, but those nachos were fucking awesome.
Yeah, we always have fun at that show. That's definitely one of our favorites. So
we're glad to have you, and hopefully you can start coming on a little more often and give Dirk a run for his money on who's the better writer that hangs out with us more via Skype.
Yeah, that's going to be the plan. We're starting the Dirk versus Raven showdown. So, all right, Raven, thank you so much, man. It's been a pleasure having you on, and people, you guys got to go out and check out Widow's Web. And we will talk to you again soon here.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right.
And that was Raven Gregory, everyone. We had the chance to talk to him a little bit off air as well. And we learned quite a few things about Widow's Web, which we are so excited to see once it gets published. We know that we're going to be hearing from Raven a lot more as he tries to take the mantle of persons whose guests appeared on our show more than once. But until then, we'll be back next week with a regular podcast, so enjoy your comic books, and we'll talk to you later.